Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Teddy Bruschi joins us as he does each and every week here on OMF. It's all brought to you by Shaw's. Mr. Bruschi, how are you doing?
Guys, I'm doing good. Good to be with you again. How you guys doing?
Terrific. What's up with this league now? You got like 24-point favorites, and then you got two teams that are well into the 20-point. What happened to parity? Remember parity? Well,
the competitive balance of the league. I don't know. I don't know what happened, Glenn. It's just that the Patriots, they are looking very good out there, and there are a lot of teams that aren't playing good football. It seems like the preseason has been extended for some of these teams that are still trying to, you know, get basic fundamentals down. I mean, and then there's the New England Patriots that look like they've already hit their stride.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because I agree with you, and even like the Philadelphia Eagles look like they are they're not going to practice anymore. They're already doing walkthroughs. So how was
that hurt?
And well, I get it, but I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because everybody's getting hurt, or people are see what's happening to all the other, you know, marquee players in the NFL, like the quarterbacks, and they're freaking out about it. Like, they don't want to take the chance.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you handle the preseason as a head coach? Did you slowly build the grind up in your players to where, you know, maybe even though you're not playing a lot in the games, you're practicing with other teams. You're having full padded work. You're doing live tackling drills. You're still getting some type of contact in for the players that need it, knowing that they'll be ready for week one and when September comes around. A lot of these teams during the preseason, it's really just 4 weeks of walkthrough. I mean, guys are wearing hats on the sidelines. They don't care what they're doing. They're just waiting for the regular season to start. Their bodies aren't ready. And I think you're starting to see an effect of that because, along the line of scrimmage especially, I mean, you are seeing poor offensive line play. The defense or the offensive lines just don't look good at times, and quarterbacks are really paying for it because the offensive line's not ready.
So, Teddy, we saw Antonio Brown last week. We all know he's a talented football player, and they'll get on the right page. But I'm just curious where you're at. I know last time we talked to you, you know, now you got an SI column coming out talking about how he owes all these guys money. Is it just becoming too much? Are you curious what the next shoe to drop is? Where are you with Antonio Brown here in the Patriots?
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot, Lou. You're right. I mean, this is a lot of stuff they didn't anticipate coming. A lot of distractions. They don't like distractions in there. They don't like all of this drama. They just want to focus on football. They do it the best they can. I don't think they knew this was coming. I mean, this is coming out of the woodwork now. You mean talking about people about, you know, chefs and you know, everything, $700, $2,000 here. All of these things are coming out in these reports, and it is a lot. You know, but he's a member of the team. He's a member of the team now, and I'm telling you, if I was in that locker room, I mean, like I said on Sunday Countdown last week, if these sexual assault accusations, if they're true, if they are true, I'd want him out immediately. But he's denying them all. His people are denying them all. And you have to let this process work itself out. So in the meantime, man, let's just go play some football. Put it all behind you and let's go play some football. And that's cold. It sounds so cold and awful, and I understand that. But in the NFL world, where you got 6 days to get ready for a game on Sunday, guys are really good at compartmentalizing all of this stuff and putting it behind you and still being able to see a player right there, not with all of his baggage in the past, but now just seeing him as, can he contribute to help us win football games? And I think that's the way they're looking at Antonio, and that's the way they're going to move forward with it.
Yeah, until any type of
proof comes out or anything else where they have something solid where they can say, whoa, pump the brakes now, man. You got to get out of here. But I don't see anything of that yet.
Well, see, I look at it just like after 2 weeks of the season, of the NFL season, you start to get a good idea of how much competition there is really for the Patriots. And I don't think there's a lot in the AFC. And so I go, they really don't even need him. I think they can go to the Super Bowl without Antonio Brown for a couple reasons. One, based on how good and how much talent they have already, and the fact that there's nobody else that's going to really push them back other than maybe Baltimore and Kansas City.
Yeah, you're right. I think there are some players also in that locker room that feel exactly the way you're feeling, Foyer. It's like, hey, man, we were winning before with them. Are there any players in there that are sort of irritated that this distraction bomb has been dropped in here when they just got done beating the Steelers 33-3? I mean, they blew them out. And you saw how they used their running backs. Everybody wondered how, okay, there's no Gronkowski now. But you even listen to Bill in his press conference today. He's talking about Rex Burkhead and James White as receivers. As extra receivers, you got five wides out there when those guys are out there. That's how much skill they already have offensively. So then you bring in Antonio Brown. And then I'm sure some of those players, like I said, oh, well, okay, it's good to have you, but, you know, if you don't do much for us, we're still going to be okay. I think that's the difference of the mentality in the Patriot locker room versus the Raider locker room when you saw on Hard Knocks how many times Coach Gruden was saying, you just wait. Wait till this 84 comes back. He's pretty good. There's none of that going on in there because they know they can win without him.
All right, Teddy Bruschi, we're accustomed to seeing a Patriot defense sometimes that takes a little bit of time to really be able to peak. Yeah. And we saw it last year. Last five, six games, they were really good, and obviously they were terrific in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia right out of the gate this year. They are immense. You can't move. So you're an offensive coordinator. I'm looking at the schedule here. There aren't a lot of really good quarterbacks they're going to face for a while. You tell me if you're an offensive coordinator, how do you score against this D?
Yeah, do I have any type of, you know, power running game to try to go right at them? I mean, but then they're stout enough at the linebacker level to take that on. I mean, do I spread them out and use my receivers? They've got the best cornerback in the game in Gilmore, and they've got a couple safeties in Chung and McCourty that can do basically anything. I mean, this defense, guys, it has a chance to be special. And you can talk of all the special defenses that have been here before, even the ones that I played on. This one right here, I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, these linebackers are working so well together. That pick six by Gilmore, that was all Van Hoy. Van Hoy, we call it butching the back. You butch the back when he's offset to your side or he comes out your side to help the coverage of Bentley. Then Fitzpatrick, that's his number one read. He can't see it. It's not there, so he scrambles to his right, and all of a sudden he makes a bad decision because the back's not there because of what the linebacker did. And all of a sudden he's throwing it to Gilmore, and he's walking it in. All of that all works together. It's just so impressive how well they work together. I mean, I'm really not a stat guy, fellas, like within the first 2 weeks of the season. I usually wait till like the third week or the fourth week, then I start looking at numbers. But then I'm like, no, let me look at how they're doing right now. And in terms of everything that's important to me in terms of defensive statistics, you know, red area, third down scoring, sacking the quarterback, like, and also yards after offensive touch. That means how well they're tackling. So they're like top two in every one. I mean, the start that they've come off in these first 2 weeks is incredible. It's just, I'm waiting for the offense to get off the field so I can watch these guys play. That's how impressive I think it's been.
Yeah, Teddy, this team is impressive. Maybe because defensively, yeah, like you're talking about how good they are, offensively, what they can be when Antonio gets in the right page. So, okay, you were there in 07, and I know I'm not going to go there because there is a tough 5-6-game stretch here after that bye, but Bill Belichick coaching this team, expectations, you're blowing guys out, you're undefeated, people are talking 16-0. Take me through that whole approach. Is it humble pie the whole time? Because Bill knows his team is special.
Yeah, and I remember that. I remember that 07 season, and there were times where we felt like we hadn't won a game. coming out of those team meetings on Mondays, it's like, man, did we win? Because Bill was coaching us so hard. Does he take that same approach with this team? He might. I think if he recognizes, you know, what they can be, he might do that. But in terms of how we in 07 handled things, there were specific games. There was a Colt game. There was like three or four of them that, I mean, we were in danger of losing. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, that 07,
Ravens, right?
You ran through everyone. You ran through everyone. But hey, there were a couple times where we needed a little good fortune, and we needed to come back in the fourth quarter. I think we might have been down by 10 to Indy there, but there were also those games where those certain plays had to be made in the fourth quarter. Everybody out there listening, it's not going to be this easy every single week. I'm telling you, it's going to get tight, and they're going to be those games in the fourth quarter where Tom or that defense is going to have to make a play that makes the difference.
Yeah, you know, you're right, but it seems like it's going to be a while, because here we go with the Jets. Here you go. You go from the Miami Dolphins to the Jets. And sure, like the Jets got some players on defense, but offensively, other than Le'Veon Bell, I'm trying to figure out how they just make it competitive, right? How does it not be out of reach by the, you know, the second quarter? Explain to me how the Jets make this a competitive game.
Yeah, it has to be Bell. It has to be running the football. It has to be trying to, you know, milk that clock, take a lot of time off the clock so the offense of the Patriots has less possessions. One thing to look for defensively for the Patriots, look for a lot of two-gapping in terms of Bill coaching up his defensive line to get both of their hands in the breastplate and then pressing and then waiting and just waiting and waiting and waiting till Le'Veon Bell enters the line of scrimmage. But he's going to tell him he's waiting for you to commit, because once you commit to a gap, he will go to the other one. It's very similar to 2 years ago when it was home. I think it might have been the playoff game where Le'Veon was playing there, and it's the same techniques they use there, the way they played the run. So that's their singular focus is going to be stopping Bell, especially in the run game, because I think they will try to take up a lot of time and a couple possessions from the Patriots' offense.
I'm sure you guys are going to get to this topic this week on ESPN. We've been talking about it today. A lot of the New Yorkers are coming out of the woodwork, and they're looking at the change with Daniel Jones taking over as quarterback for the Giants. This is the end of Eli Manning, and they're ready to shoot him all the way into Canton, Ohio right now. Let's take him right there into the Hall of Fame. When you look at his 16-year career, do you see a Hall of Famer there, Teddy?
Well, I still lay up late at night. Can't sleep because of what Eli did to us.
I get that. Was that enough, though? Those two Super Bowls, is that enough to
He's the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, might be.
Yeah. I'm sort of traumatized.
It's like you're affected. You're traumatized.
I do think Eli belongs in the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's like first, second, third year of eligibility or anything like that. I think it's going to take a little time because it is a debate. It is a debate, and I can understand that with the 500 regular season. But it's Eli, it's a quarterback in New York, it's the Manning name, and what he did in those Super Bowls, to me, you know, was very important, I thought. I mean, I like I said, fellas, I mean, you may be asking the wrong guy on this, because I think about it all the time, about what he did, and that was the one that got away, and they really did. He played great that game.
So I got to ask you about Steven Gostkowski, because he's been very good for this football team. And I don't know if it's a mental issue down in Miami, although it's concerning that that's where the Super Bowl will be. How do you approach this? Is it just they're that good that can allow him to kind of work through it? Because I don't see someone coming off the street that you feel better about.
Well, you stay away from him in the locker room. don't talk to him too much. Just let him work these things out himself. I think that through the history that you have with Gotti, though, I mean, you know that he's going to keep grinding and keep working, you know? So, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go out there and grab another kicker, because you see all the problems that have been around the league, and I think they haven't been mistakes that have cost you the game because of the scores of the first 2 weeks. You know, in those closer games, is it going to be a problem then? You anticipate that it's not going to be. I mean, when you have a guy like this that's been with the organization for so long and has made so many kicks, you just got to think, just keep going out there, keep swinging, they'll go through.
So, you know, Teddy, I didn't realize it was so easy for players to basically bitch their way out of a contract and a team and just get themselves traded. Yeah. I'm looking at Jalen Ramsey. I'm looking at Micah Fitzpatrick. Do you think this is do you think this is good for the NFL? And two, do you think it'll continue?
Man, I think what's changed is the headache that can be created by the player. I mean, the headache that type of...
Have always been headaches.
Like the agent planting the rumor to an insider, and then the player and the blow-up on the sideline, and then the player through social media expressing himself freely there, and the player in an article then saying something bad about the organization. It can just come from all directions now with all of the attention that it can garner. So organizations are like, man, we just don't want this. We just don't want this. Let's get them out of here, because it seems like the players... They're just saying, well, if I make enough of a problem, I can get myself out of this. And then you see that all of like the for everything. I know it's not. This is a trade that he's wanting, but the franchise tag, the holdouts from training camp, the Le'Veon Bell going the entire year. What eventually happens in the end?
Why don't the owners and the coach just say no? So Jalen Ramsey bitches and complains. He wants a trade. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I kind of get the Dolphins because they want a lot of draft capital. So they were like, okay, fine. But Jalen Ramsey, why don't they just say no?
At first, I was like, I was almost applauding what Mayock and Gruden were doing. It was like, no, it's our way or the highway, man. You're going to come here. You're going to do this. We're going to fine you and all of that stuff. And look what happened there. He still found a way to get himself out of Oakland.
He was just willing to go farther than they were. It just depends on who's got more stamina.
Yeah,
it's like a game of chicken
for less money. But
exactly.
You know what?
So yeah. I mean, Le'Veon did what he wanted to do. He ended up going and getting what he needed out of New York. You see, at the end of the path, though, the player seems to be coming out on top. That's what other players are seeing.
Well, it's so like the NBA.
So it's like, all right, man. Let me if it got to come to this, or let me get this press conference. Let me cause a ruckus on the sideline through my agent. I will get to the organization and ask for a trade, and then say we didn't leak this. You know, there's various things that can irritate owners, general managers, head coaches, to where they're finally saying, I can't take it anymore. Okay, what can we get for them?
Christian's
and
right,
all
though.
All of a sudden, the player's got what he wanted.
Yeah, Christian's right, though, Teddy. It is the NBA, so it becomes great marketing because we've spent time talking about it. People across the country have spent time talking. Jalen Ramsey's been talked about more in the last few days than he has for the last couple of years. But is it good in the end for the NFL? Because you're going to keep on giving in to these guys. You know, you don't want the headache, as you said. You don't want the headache all week because it could mess up your season, a couple bad losses because of a distraction. But if you keep on giving these guys what they want, then they're all going to get what they want.
So let's just spin it forward to the New England Patriots. And I think they're handling things as best as they possibly can regarding Antonio Brown and the distractions, because it's still only about football, and a lot of it's about the past and the Klemko story and $2,000 here and all that and all that. But in the end, guys, how's it going to end here with Antonio? That I don't know. We'll see how it is. But, I mean, you think this is going to be a place where Antonio finishes his entire career? Yeah. I'm sure he still thinks he has a lot of football left, but how's it going to end here? That's still to play itself out, too.
That may be a stretch, but I'll tell you this. The most remarkable thing about postgame on Sunday was Bill Belichick wasn't going to talk at all about AB, and Tom Brady didn't want to talk about him. They sent Josh Gordon out there. He answered 7 questions, and 4 of them were about Antonio Brown. Talk about progress, huh?
Yeah, and there was one thing I always used to see Antonio do on the field. I'm just looking for little things in terms of, you know, of course, he didn't speak with the media, and he seems to be doing everything right, and that's great because, I mean, guys, we all know he's a great player, and he's going to help this team win football games, but every time he gets that first down, he puts that ball up in the air, and he just drops it. I know that irritated Bill. That type of thing. That type of thing. I can just see Bill saying amen. And that whole ball drop thing after every first down, that's not happening. Yeah. Okay. And I think he ran. Did he get it on an end around in the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he run for a first down? I think he ran for a first down.
Yeah, he got the first down.
I didn't see that ball drop.
Yeah, you get the first
down. I don't know, but I want to see if I see the ball drop. Oh. If he holds that ball out after that first down and drops that thing, because have you ever seen another New England Patriot player do that? I haven't seen that. So up until this point, you know, him going out there and performing the way he did early on, getting that touchdown, they obviously wanted to establish him a little bit. He can, if all this just, you know, it goes away, and like he says, it's all false, and he's denying everything. You got yourself a great receiver.
Hey Teddy, it's all been AB, right? The last 10 days here, especially in Boston. But before that, if it wasn't AB, we'd still be talking about Brady on his final year of his deal. Rob Ninkovich was on the radio here yesterday morning and said, you know, if this thing ends perfectly for the New England Patriots, he could see Tom Brady at this point next year being in the Bahamas. Do you think Tom's looking for that perfect ending, another Super Bowl, or do you feel like 45 is his goal?
I think Tom's, you know, man, I think he'd be smart enough to know the perfect endings are rare, you know. And
what if he got it? What if he got 19-0, another Super Bowl?
I'd walk. You know what I mean? That's man, I'm still traumatized here at 19-0. I mean, jeez. That would be perfect. Yeah, man. I mean, just getting number what you know what number 7 does?
Right.
It puts him past Jordan. Mm-hmm. And then 7 puts the New England Patriots past the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it doesn't get any better.
And then we can all just kind of end the party.
And you know what? And
a little three-peat's nice.
And with Drew Brees out for who knows how many games, he's going to get yardage. He's going to have those touchdown numbers. He's going to move to the top of the It's enticing. There's no question.
Brady get a certificate when he breaks all those records like Drew Brees did?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, Teddy Bruschi, NFL Countdown. You can catch him on Sunday and, of course, catch him on ESPN, and you can catch him with us
every Wednesday.
Wednesday. We'll do it next Wednesday. Thanks, have a good one.
Good talking to you.
See you, bud. Yeah, have a good one. Teddy Bruschi right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.